The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Hi everybody, it's Mike from the Law Centre here again, and today we pick up where we left off our last show. You will remember that we had Shane Robinson, the Law Centre's expert on immigration, answering some frequently asked questions on that very subject. This, unsurprisingly, took a little longer than the show, and so we've calculated that we will be adding another three more sessions, including today's show. So, hi Shane, welcome back, and thank you for coming in today, and potentially for the next couple.
Thanks, Mike, and hello to everyone. It's great to be back. I'm sorry that the topic is taking so many shows to get through all the questions. To be fair, these are only a small representation of the immigration questions we field at the Law Centre. Hopefully the listeners will find the information helpful.
Well, I'm sure they will, mate. That's just, I think the last time we used a lot of abbreviations for different things, and from my perspective, I'll just get you to run through some of those again just so we can get started.
Sure. So INZ means Immigration New Zealand, NZQA is the New Zealand Qualifications Authority, AEWV is the Accredited Employer Work Visa, the SMC is the Skilled Migrant Category Resident Visa, and EOI is an Expression of Interest, which you must send to INZ before you can apply under the SMC. ANZCO is the Australia and New Zealand Standard Classification of Occupations, and NOL is the National Occupations List. They're both tools that INZ officers use to assess AEWV and SMC applications. Also, listeners need to understand that some of the information I'll be providing is of a reasonably technical nature in places. If you have any doubts about anything we say, please come and see us.
Okay, cool. I hope I can remember all of that at my age. Let's crank into it before we forget. Can I still claim bonus points for the SMC if I'm working outside of Auckland?
No, sadly, not anymore. While it's always good to be outside of Auckland, the government took those points away when it reconfigured the SMC. It's a shame, really, because the idea was to get migrants to take up jobs in regions out in the regions instead of Auckland.
So can people still apply for residence under the highly paid visa category?
No. That category was abolished as of the 1st of July 2023. Being highly paid can still give you points towards residence, though. If you earn 1.5 times the median wage, you get 3 points. If you earn twice the median wage, you get 4 points. If you earn 3 times the median wage, you get 6 points.
Okay, so money does talk.
Yep. There's also a couple of other residence categories that people can qualify for by investing money in New Zealand, but that's a separate topic for another time.
Okay, so what happens to my residence application if my employer chose the incorrect ANZCO or NOL code during my AEWV application?
Okay, so this is going to be another pretty long answer, so it's good that you've already made your cup of coffee this time, Mike. I know how sleepy you get without your coffee, especially when I'm giving a long answer.
Absolutely.
Okay, so INZ will generally make a separate assessment at the resident stage, but in many cases where the role is the same and there are no changed circumstances or any other reason to make a change, the ANZCO or NOL code selected at the AEWV stage will be the same as that in the residence stage. If it's not, this can be a serious issue both for your work visa and for your residence application. In the first place, if your employer has chosen the wrong ANZCO or NOL code for your visa and you're actually working in a different ANZCO or NOL occupation, you could be in breach of your visa conditions without realising it. While INZ will probably understand that this isn't your fault, your employer will either have to change the work that you do so that it matches what's on your visa, or it means that you'll have to apply for a variation of conditions to your work visa to be allowed to keep working. That means that your employer is potentially going to have to go through the job check process all over again. If the job check doesn't succeed, then you might be out of a job. That's why it's so important for an employer to get professional advice when preparing a job check. The second problem occurs if you're trying to accumulate skilled work experience to qualify for residence. One young man came to me because he had just discovered that while he was working as a herd manager, and that's what his visa said, his employer had actually used the code for a farm assistant, which doesn't qualify as skilled employment unless it's highly paid. He only discovered this when he tried to apply for a partnership visa for his wife, and INZ told him he wasn't eligible to support that application for her. He had been in the job for over 2 years and thought that he was accumulating skilled work experience for residents, only to find that he had not earned any points for skilled work experience in all that time. That employer had received professional advice, but there were several issues with the advice that they'd received. That's a timely reminder to only get advice from a licensed immigration advisor or immigration lawyer. A lot of human resources professionals don't have the knowledge to guide employers or employees through the immigration process.
So how did that young man get on? I mean, was there a way to rectify the error and a reconsideration or could be implemented or put in place?
There's nothing that can be done about the time he's wasted, even though that wasn't his fault. Fortunately, he's managed to get a new job with a different employer using the right ANSCO code, so he's now accumulating the work experience he needs.
Awesome. So what else should listeners be aware of?
If your employer has used the wrong code, but you're still working in skilled employment because the job is still at the right skill level, and your employment meets all other requirements, then INZ will assess your employment to see if it meets the requirements of the residence instructions you're applying under. If you applied because you think your job is on the green list because that's the role and code your employer used, but the actual correct code and role is not on the green list, you may no longer be eligible to apply for residence under the green list. However, an immigration officer can conduct an assessment to see if you're still eligible for residence under another category. It's possible that INZ will decide that you still meet requirements for residence and grant you residence anyway. However, it's not a situation I would like to be in. During the first COVID outbreak, I had a client who had applied under the old SMC and her job didn't fit any single ANSCO code, which is a limitation of the system and part of the reason INZ is replacing it with the NOL. In that case, I had to provide a complete breakdown of the work my client did and show INZ how it still qualified as skilled employment. It was a very time-consuming task, but we got there in the end and she got residence. Another thing to note is that while assessing a job check application for an AEWV, an immigration officer must consider whether the role is a substantial match to the role listed by the employer and the ANSCO or NOL skill level that's been claimed for the role. Based on that assessment, the immigration officer can downgrade or upgrade the ANSCO or NOL skill level. I've seen the code downgraded when someone has applied for residence, and not only did the applicant's residence application get declined, but his next work visa application was also declined.
Well, that's not good. So do I need to remain in the same employment after my SMC application is approved under the new instructions?
Well, if the application is approved but the resident visa hasn't actually been granted and issued to the applicant yet, then yes, you must still be in the same employment. I have seen a case where someone assumed that because his application had been approved in principle, he left his job. INZ found out and his approval was revoked. Once the applicant has actually received their visa, I'm not aware of any instruction in the INZ operational manual or anything in the Immigration Act 2009 that says that someone must stay in the same job after their resident visa is granted. I have seen people leave their job and start a new career after getting residence. However, if the resident visa was granted on the basis of a job, particularly a fixed-term contract, and the applicant leaves that job as soon as the resident visa is received, then INZ might ask whether the job was genuine to begin with. They can investigate, and if they find that they've been misled, they can make the applicant liable for deportation. Alternatively, they may decide that the visa was granted an error and revoke it, which could also leave the applicant liable for deportation.
Okay, so let's not rush things then. Can I claim points for skilled work experience even if it's not relevant for the job offer?
Yes. As long as it's skilled work experience gained in New Zealand that meets all other requirements and you were suitably qualified or experienced to do it, as well as being skilled and experienced enough for the job you're using to apply for residence. However, skilled work experience must have been genuine and lawfully obtained and will not be counted if the applicant was unlawfully in New Zealand or required authority to undertake employment but did not have such authority. That includes having the right visa to work in that job.
Okay, so can I claim points for skilled work experience if I'm a self-employed?
Yes. Self-employment, which INZ calls work on a contract for services, is acceptable as long as the experience was lawfully gained. You can also gain residence under the SMC if you're self-employed if, one, you meet the requirements for at least 12 months of skilled work experience in New Zealand, and two, you have a consistent history of contract work, and three, you have a current contract or contracts totaling at least 6 months' duration, and four, an immigration officer is satisfied that such contract work is likely to be satisfied.
So if I earn three times the median wage and hold a very senior position, and I'm age 56, am I still eligible to apply for residence based on my remuneration?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
A person may only be invited to apply for a resident visa under the skilled migrant category if the person expressing interest is aged 55 or younger at the time the application is made.
Only 55. Okay. Well, so it seems that it's very early. It's a very early cutoff point, especially if someone is admittedly advanced age. Why is it only 55?
I'm not sure that it's ever stated directly in immigration instructions, but the rationale seems to be that someone working in New Zealand in skilled employment must still be able to contribute to the economy for at least 10 years before becoming eligible for superannuation, which is 65 in New Zealand. That would be consistent with other areas of immigration policy.
Yeah, I suppose that advancing age does bring with it some increasing chance of having health issues as well. So, not that I know anyone that has any, of course.
Of course not. Yeah, it's all about managing the cost to the taxpayer. Someone who has a resident visa is eligible for publicly funded health and disability services. So if someone becomes a resident and then develops cancer or heart problems or diabetes within a few years, they're eligible for free healthcare. The government is very conscious of the strain on the health system right now, so I don't see this policy changing anytime soon.
Hmm. Okay. Unfortunately, we're running out of time again, so thanks again for coming in and sharing your time with us, Shane. I'm sure everyone will be keen to hear our next session. I certainly will be. It is important to remember that the information discussed today is information only and not to be considered as legal advice. For legal advice on any immigration matter, contact our offices for an appointment. Again, thanks for your time. And we look forward to you continuing with part three next month, Shane.
Looking forward to it. Remember to bring your coffee.
Absolutely. Just a wee reminder to our listeners, there is a podcast on today's session and all previous shows available on Radio Southland's website and their Facebook page. The website address is radiosouthland.org.nz and Facebook.com/Radio Southland. It is always important to remember that all situations are unique, and we advise you that if you're unsure about your rights or obligations, that you seek legal advice or information about your situation as early as you can. If you have any questions about what we've discussed today or have a query in relation to something else that you would like an appointment with one of our volunteer lawyers, then please call us on 2143 180 or stop in at our offices at Level 2, 33 Don Street, Invercargill. Our office hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and we are open to walk-in clients Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Unfortunately, Mondays and Fridays, we are closed to the public. We continue to offer outreach service to our rural areas when required, and you can contact us on 0800 55 0800 to make an appointment in our area, or your area, I should say. So that's it from us today, and thank you once again.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.